Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. The Apostle Paul said, "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." The Apostle Paul had a burning desire to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Down in verse 14, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling," or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the high calling, or the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus for believers? What is that upward calling? I believe it is to be conformed to the image of Christ. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to work in us and with us to make us Christ-like. We know in a coming day from what John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That doesn't mean that we will possess the attributes of deity. We are not God, but we will be like Christ in that glorified state. But it is the plan of God that we believers be Christ-like increasingly here in this life. And the Apostle Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling or upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." What an outstanding testimony. What an outstanding ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ the Apostle Paul was. Three times in the New Testament we read of the encounter that he had with the risen Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. You will read of the actual experience in Acts chapter 9, and then in chapters 22 and 26, he gives his testimony about that experience on the Damascus Road. You know the story of the Apostle Paul. Before his conversion to Christ, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, a well-educated man. And you can read his pedigree in Philippians chapter 3. And this ruler of the Jews had a burning hatred for Jesus and for those who followed him. He wanted to stop those of the way. He wanted to stop this movement, if you please. And he arrested men and women. Made no difference to him. He wanted to rid the world of these followers of this Jesus of Nazareth. So he had this burning hatred for Jesus and for those who pledged allegiance to him. Now the Lord Jesus dealt personally with the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus at that time. But the Lord Jesus dealt personally with him. And that makes for a very interesting study in itself. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read that the Apostle Paul was one who was born out of due season. What does that mean? He was born out of due season. That is, his spiritual birth was ahead of time. Most references that I have gone to will put it that way. He considered himself as one born ahead of time. A preemie, if you please. Born ahead of time. I remember in the many different translations and paraphrases that I looked up some years ago, I ran across one that said he was born after his time. No, he was born out of due season. He was born ahead of time. Well, what is the significance of that? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, remember, said that he was used as an example of those who should hereafter believe on Christ to life everlasting. So, when you put these scriptures together, I believe you will see this, that Paul was referring to that time after the rapture. All believers will be caught up to be with the Lord. Well, how will people get saved during the tribulation period, since we are fully persuaded that it is God's plan and purpose that only the saved tell the story? Only the saved ones are to be witnesses and to give the gospel message, tell of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. All believers gone, how will people get saved? Well, the Lord is going to deal with those 144,000 Jews during the tribulation period, just as he dealt with the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. He was born out of due season, ahead of time, and he was used of God as an example, 1 Timothy 1, as an example or as a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. The Lord Jesus is going to deal personally with those of the tribulation period who will become evangelists of that day. But you will read of Paul's pedigree in Philippians chapter 3. And he had this burning hatred for Christ. He had this burning hatred for the followers of Christ. But you know of the experience he had on that Damascus Road when Jesus dealt with him. And he submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging him as Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And what a transformation Paul experienced in coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In Philippians chapter 3, he said as to his position in life, he had much about which he could boast. But when he trusted Christ, when he experienced this transformation, when he submitted to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized that he had nothing at all to boast about. And he counted all of his accomplishments as garbage, as dung, as refuse. What great losses Paul had in becoming a follower of Christ. He lost financial stability. He lost physical comfort. He lost a great reputation as a leader of the Jews, and so much more. Great losses. But his gains were far greater than his losses. Look at verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, or garbage, or refuse, that I may win Christ. A personal gain. He had won Christ in knowing him as his Lord and Savior. In verse 9, he said, and be found in Him, a positional gain. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. A personal gain, a positional gain. But look at verse 10 again, and he speaks about a potential gain. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul felt the greatest thing that ever happened to him was getting to know Christ. Knowing Christ was radical and revolutionary to Paul. It changed everything about him and his life. And Paul wanted to know more about his blessed Lord. Would to God we had that burning desire to know more about the Lord Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And we're hearing messages from so many quarters today. I'm talking about messages from supposed Christians. Messages from so many quarters about you need power, or you need riches, or you need this, or you need that. But how much are we hearing about getting to know Christ better, knowing Christ more? All relationships have to start somewhere, but they are expected to go somewhere. And we heard about relationships this morning, a very good message from the Song of Solomon. A relationship can either be tenuous and temporary or deep and intimate. Paul wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some might think in reading these verses that Paul wasn't sure of his salvation. Some might think, well, it sounds as if he's striving to work his way to heaven. Oh, no. No, no. That cannot be. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, I know that nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. No angelic being. No human, nothing in all of God's creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But note the most important aspiration he had. He wanted to know more about Christ, a better knowledge of the person of Christ, a better knowledge of the power of Christ, a better knowledge of the passion of Christ. And Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, you can look it up later, 4:13 of Ephesians, that getting to know Christ better brings us to spiritual maturity. Maybe you heard the story about the little boy who fell out of bed. The mother downstairs heard this loud noise. She went running upstairs to find that the boy had fallen out of the bed. She looked at him and said, what happened? And he said, I stayed too close to where I got in. Well, you know, sadly, I think this is the experience of many who name the name of Christ. Sad to say. They fell asleep too close to where they got in. And you can talk to some Christians about Jesus, and you can get into the deeper things of Christ. And sad to say, many, it seems, really don't know what you're talking about. But the Apostle Paul wanted to know more about his blessed Lord. Every month in October, a day is set aside, not only in the United States, in Canada, in the Bahamas, particularly in the Bahamas, Columbus Day. Do you know where Columbus landed, by the way? Thank you. In the Bahamas. San Salvador, Bahamas. In 1492, as we were taught in grade school, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue and discovered America. Maybe, possibly, after Leif Erikson. We aren't really sure. But credit is given to Columbus for discovering America. Discovering America. But you know, when you stop to think about it, Columbus only knew very little about this great land that he had discovered. America, that takes in a lot of territory. I understand that there are lakes in Canada that haven't been named as yet. Recently, we were in Alaska, Denali being one of the places. I hope Samuel doesn't get lost up there. Boy, oh boy, that is wild country. Even think of the capital of Alaska. Doesn't have any roadways going into the city or out of it. You have to go by plane or boat to get there. The capital of Alaska. No highways. And my, what a wilderness. And what vast wealth in that country. And to think that Russia sold it to America in, what, 1863 for $7.2 million. I think they'd like to buy it back. But I would presume there are areas in Alaska that really haven't been discovered. I mean, you know, that people have really sought out and checked out in every way. But Columbus discovered America. Well, this is the way it is with many Christians. They say, well, I've gotten saved. I've come to know Christ as Savior. Oh, you've come to know Christ. Yes, praise God, I know the Lord. I like what Stuart Briscoe said in one of his writings. He said, when people engage in name dropping, the immediate thing we want to know is how well does the dropper know the dropped? He goes on to say, a Christian is a name dropper supreme. He, she drops the name which is above every name every time he, she uses the word Christian. But the important thing is how well he, she really knows Christ. How well do we know our Lord Jesus Christ? I had a couple of thoughts to go through my mind when our brother read with us from Psalm 103. God made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. Look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go to Numbers chapter 12. I'll look these verses up right after the Lord's Supper because I was thinking of Psalm 103 and that verse particularly. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Come down to verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Well, this indicates that Moses had, shall we say, a unique relationship with the Lord. No one experienced the communion with God as Moses did. Moses communed with him face to face. Turn over to what is the verse? Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. And look at verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. All right, getting back to Psalm 103. God made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The children of Israel knew something of the acts of God from from a distance. You can only know the ways of God close up. You could observe me over a period of time. You could get to know something of my habits, something of my likes, something of my dislikes. You could get to know my acts. But you'd have to talk to Louise to know my ways. Because it's when you live with a person that you get to know them close up. You get to know them personally. You get to know their ways. He made known His ways unto Moses, but His acts unto the children of men. So knowing Christ was totally radical and revolutionary to Paul. The knowledge of Christ changed everything for Paul. And the greatest thing that ever happened to him was coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And then the greatest thing thereafter was getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ better. Knowing Christ has two initial stages: preparatory knowledge and personal knowledge. Preparatory knowledge is knowing about Christ, knowing His existence, His validity. And a person can read all the facts about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can say, believing from their heart, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the unique Son of God, and I have called upon Him to be my Savior. But what then? What then? That person needs to go further and to see the relevance of Christ to his own life or to her own life. One might have all the facts about Christ and accept them as being true, but keep in mind the Lord Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. And it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God to take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. The Lord Jesus said that to his disciples in the upper room. Preparatory knowledge, and then there is personal knowledge. That word know in Philippians 3 and 10 is not the knowledge of intellect. It's not the knowledge of intellect. It is the knowledge of intimacy. This is what Paul desired. And we know Christ historically and theoretically or theologically, I wanted to say, from the Bible. We know these things about Christ, but experientially, we know Him through the acts of obedience and faith. But these are acts that are responsive to what we learn about Him from the Word of God. To learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is to love Him. To know Him is to love Him. And to love Him is to serve it. Paul, in all of these words of Philippians chapter 3 that we have read, expresses his desire to be like Christ. Let me use an Old Testament story as an illustration. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Fascinating story about Mephibosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Look at verse 24. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, actually the grandson, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. This is King David, returning from his exile. He came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. And it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. This is a mystery among Jews even today. What did Mephibosheth really do here? Was this an act? Was he serious? Or was he just trying to cover up and make a bad situation look a little better? Well, let me go back. You might remember after the death of Saul and Jonathan, David is recognized as the king of Israel, all the tribes. And he wanted to show kindness to any of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And surely you've heard messages, thoughts expressed, maybe at the Lord's Supper, if not from the platform here otherwise. You have heard some thoughts, or maybe you have read the story for yourself, about Mephibosheth. King David wanted to know, are there any left of the house of Saul that I may show them kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now remember, Saul was king. And those of his family, especially in the line, were expecting to ascend to the throne. But now David is king. And so he wants to show kindness to any of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. Well, word came to him, yes, there is one. There is this Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan. This man in Lodebar, place of no pasture. He's out there. He's a lame man. He became lame as a baby, lame on both his feet. And so David ordered that this Mephibosheth be brought to him. And you'll read the story in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And you'll read of a certain Ziba. He was a servant of Saul. And so he came along with Mephibosheth. Ziba, the servant, and all of his household are brought to David along with Mephibosheth. David instructed Ziba to till the ground for Mephibosheth and for his family, and he would be a servant to Mephibosheth. Well, then, as we proceed in 2 Samuel, coming to 2 Samuel chapter 16, you will remember that Absalom, one of David's sons, overthrew his father David. And he became king for a short period of time. And David had to go into exile. What a sad picture that must have been. Here is David coming out of the eastern gate, coming down across the Kidron, going on up to the Mount of Olives, and then beyond. When he got to the mount, Scripture says, here came Ziba, saddled with two asses, on which were all kinds of foodstuffs. And so Ziba said to the king, these are for you, king, as you go into exile. You'll need something to eat. Your men will need something to eat. And David said, where is Mephibosheth? Oh, he said he didn't come. He said that God, or that the people of Israel, would restore unto him the throne of his father. That's what Ziba said. So David goes on his way into exile, thinking that Mephibosheth was wanting to ascend the throne because he was of the house of Saul. Well, you know the story about Absalom being caught in that tree by his hair. Joab threw darts into him and killed him. And so later, now in 2 Samuel 19, David is coming back to Jerusalem to reign as king. And here goes Mephibosheth out to him. And David asked him, as we read, "What happened to you, Mephibosheth? Why didn't you go with me? Why didn't you come to me?" "Oh," he said, "Ziba deceived me. He said, 'You're lame, I'll go to David.' And he deceived me. He spoke ill against me. He slandered me." But let's get back to 2 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 24. "And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace." I believe Mephibosheth was sincere. And Mephibosheth, this lame man, a cripple on both his feet, he said to David, "I couldn't do a whole lot. But as I thought about you, my king, that you were not able to dress your feet, to put clean raiment on yourself, so I did not dress my feet. You could not groom yourself and trim your beard. I haven't trimmed my beard from the day you left until now. You were not able to wash your clothes being in exile, going from place to place. I haven't washed my clothes. I wanted to be like you, my king, because of my love and devotion to you." What a touching story. But as I said, it's still a mystery to some Jews today. Was he on the level? Was he telling the truth? Or just trying to get out of a difficult situation? I believe he was telling the truth. He wanted to be like his king. His king was not able to do all of these things. Mephibosheth said, "I will not do them. I want to be like my king." That was Paul's desire. He wanted to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. So he spoke about his desire to be like Christ. And he said that I may know him, that I might have this knowledge of intimacy, that I might know Christ and be like him. I trust this is our burning desire as well. How well do we know Christ? Very quickly, I jot it down, that I may know him as my Savior from sin. Luke 2:11, Luke 1:47. That I may know him as my surety in covenant. Hebrews 7:22. My surety. He has pledged himself to save me and to bring me into my inheritance in glory. He's my surety in covenant. Hebrews 7:22. That I may know him as my sympathizer in sorrow. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15. That I may know him as my supplier in need. Philippians 4:19. For I know that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That I may know him as my strengthener in weakness. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That I may know him as my standard in living. Philippians 1:21. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ. For me to begin living is Christ. For me to continue living is Christ. And for to me to die is gain, and to be with Christ and be like him in a perfect way. That I may know Christ as my satisfaction not only here on earth, but in heaven. Psalm 17, verse 15, 1 John chapter 3, and 1 through 3, that I may know Christ. Yes, we are name droppers, but how well do we know the dropped? That's a good question. I trust that we will obey the injunction of our Lord and take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. Let's get to know our Lord Jesus Christ even better. May it be so for His name's sake. Brother Charles Lee, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer, please?